Eurozone economies are growing faster than expected.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by Reputation.com, monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the Internet. Reputation.com.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics at the intersection of the U.S. and the rest of the world. Germany today said its gross domestic product rose 1.5% in the first quarter. Even bailed out Greece showed a little growth. Marketplace's Stephen Beard is with us live from London. Stephen, Germany seems to be the star performer here. Why is it doing so well?
Exports and retail spending. The Germans are pouring their cars and their machinery into China, and the boom has spread into the economy back home. Unemployment's fallen sharply, and the Germans are shopping.
How does Germany, Stephen, compare to those infamous economies in the southern region?
Well, you mentioned Greece, which rather surprisingly, after a year of recession, is bouncing back a little bit. But the rest of the southern Eurozone is not looking too hot. Italy barely growing, Spain not doing much better, and Portugal in recession. The message here, says German economist Holger Schmieding, is that unlike the southerners, the Germans knuckled down and put their economic house in order.
They did cut public spending and they reformed the labor market and the welfare system. It took a few years of pain, but after the pain, they are now seeing the gain.
And that's the message the Germans have been preaching to those heavily indebted Southerners. But there's a paradox here, Steve. Part of the reason that Germany's exports have boomed is because the euro's been pushed down by all the worries about a default in Europe. So while the Germans grumble about having to bail out the Greeks, the Irish and the Portuguese, Germany has actually profited from the eurozone debt crisis.
Quite the irony. All right. Marketplace's Stephen Beard. Stephen, thanks.
Okay, Steve.
The European Union, by the way, today said Greece, Ireland, and Portugal's debt loads will be much bigger than it originally thought. That's adding to fears that the bailouts are not working. Let's do the numbers. Markets around the world are mostly higher at the moment, although Japanese shares were lower today. Oil prices are about $100 a barrel. Profit rose by 25% at upscale department store Nordstrom. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow gained 65 points to end the day at 12,695. On Monday, former Homeland Security Chief Michael Chertoff and FCC Chairman Julius Genachowski will join representatives from Symantec and McAfee at a roundtable on cybersecurity in small business. Now, you might think only big companies are susceptible to cyber attacks, but Marketplace Tech Report host John Moe is here to tell us otherwise. Good morning, John.
Hey, Steve.
I can't help but think about Sony, which took a big PR hit with their hacks and the breach of their systems there. What happens with smaller businesses, John?
Well, a security breach for a small business isn't going to show up in the newspaper the way it did for Sony, but it definitely shows up at the bank. The FCC is saying that each cyber attack costs a small or mid-sized business an average of $200,000, which if you're a small business, you know, that's not exactly coins in your penny jar.
It's a lot of money, yeah.
A recent report that I read said 85% of all businesses have had some type of security breach. So it's a huge problem, and it seems to be just getting worse.
And what can business owners do to avoid getting hit by these cyber thieves?
Pray, hope, hold on to something
stable. Is
that
it, really?
You know, the problem is that the attacks are getting more sophisticated. The defenses are getting more sophisticated, although they're having a hard time because they're just reacting to the attacks. You know, we talked to the FCC about this. They said they're going to be offering some partnerships for small businesses to be a part of, some consultancies, some networks that they can kind of tap into to get expertise. But make no mistake, there's a huge war going on right now, and it's not just the big companies that are being hit. It's everybody.
And what about you and I? What can we do to keep an eye on all this?
I keep looking for this hopeful note to bring to the interview, Steve, and I really wish I could bring a more
you
hopeful
are, you're
note.
You're kind of Debbie Downer today, John.
I'm trying my best. But, you know, it's best to use a different password everywhere you go. Change those passwords all the time. Keep your antivirus software updated. Common sense stuff. But really, the best thing you can do, Steve, is to never take the approach of, well, it's never going to happen to me. It's likely already happened at a place you do business with.
Marketplace Tech Report host John Moe. John, thank you.
Thanks, Steve.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Novo Nordisk since 1923, combining drug discovery with technology to turn science into diabetes treatments at novonordisk-us.com. And by Manta, connecting millions of small business owners and new customers every day on the web at manta.com. Marketplace Entrepreneurship Reporting is supported by Farmers Insurance, trained agents committed to small business success on the web at farmers.com.
Over the past few years, China has grown as an important market for luxury goods, and soon the Chinese will have the chance to drink some homegrown bubbly, thanks to an investment by an historic French champagne maker. From Paris, here's the BBC's Hugh Schofield.
Moët Chandon, part of the LVMH Luxury Goods Group, will plant a new vineyard in the northwestern Chinese province of Ningxia. The area was chosen because climatic conditions are similar to those in the Champagne region of France. Simon Field is champagne buyer for the independent wine merchants Berry Brothers and Rudd. He says it won't ever be champagne, but it could come close.
The two key features are latitude and, of course, the soil. You need a chalky, easy-draining soil, which is virtually unique in Champagne, which is why it's such a hallowed, protected area.
It's not the first time a great French wine name has started production in China. Chateau Lafite Rothschild did the same 2 years ago. The first Chinese bubbly will come on stream in 3 years, but attention, it will not be sold as champagne. That name belongs exclusively to the original French variety of sparkling wine. You see, real champagne is grown only in a small area of northern France around the town of Reims. In Paris, I'm the BBC's Hugh Schofield for Marketplace.
And finally, her hat made such a splash at William and Kate's royal wedding that Princess Beatrice of York is auctioning it off on eBay for charity. The blush-colored bonnet that stands at least a foot tall and resembles a ribbon and bow is bidding at $8,600 right now. The hat also has a Facebook page, by the way, with tens of thousands of likes. We have links to the eBay page and to the Facebook page and pictures of the odd topper at marketplace.org. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
A question for you metrosexuals out there. The last time you bought a suit, did you happen to think Bradley Cooper?
So they're trying to walk him over to the other department and say, gee, did you see the movie Hangover? Did you see what all the guys wore? Don't you want to look like them?
I'm Kai Rizdahl, and oh, what I wouldn't say to sell you this tuxedo. The story next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.